from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, listen, if he isn't yours, he can be. He wants to be. In fact, the Word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, so therefore he came to be. All, friend, listen, don't pass the opportunity up to know Christ, to know him with free pardon, forgiveness of sin, to know the peace of God that he offers that passes understanding, to know the joy of knowing that your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that when this life is over, and one day it will be, folks, one day it'll be over for all of us, that you'll be in a place that Jesus has gone to prepare, a place of joy and bliss and happiness and peace forevermore. Well, I want that for you. Jesus wants it more. He shed his blood. I'm giving my breath. But I'll tell you, friend, I'll tell you, if you're not saved, get saved, get saved, get saved. Now, the message isn't about salvation today. You can be saved from hearing the Word of God preach, friend, listen, from anywhere in that grand old book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. You can be saved by hearing the Word of God because the Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He doesn't specify which part, but I'll tell you what, you get under the power of the Word of God, any part of it, and it can produce something that is eternal, of eternal benefit and glory for you. But today, the Lord has led me to the book of Judges, one of the most interesting books there is, I think, in the Word of God. I think it's too little utilized, and I'm guilty probably of not preaching out of it as often as maybe I could, but every time I feel like God would have me to, or else that I should, I turned here. Today I've got my Bible open to the book of Judges, right after the book of Joshua, right before the book of what comes after, the book of Ruth. That's exactly right. I'm just checking my memory, the book of Ruth, and I'm looking at one verse, verse 21 of chapter 7. We're going to be stepping into, into a story, a record, actually, of a man by the name of Gideon. And we've got a passage of Scripture there that's applicable to this day and this hour. There were men that did something in that day of Gideon, when the enemy had come against the land of his people, friend, listen, that you and I can learn from today. Well, the enemy is coming, and it's already entered into our land. I'm telling you, friend, listen, we've got enemies coming from everywhere. But before we do that, before we look at the Word of God, Deb's got a song she's wanting to do. She's already got it queued up. I've got to hurry here, and it's ready to go. The title of it is Standing in the Light, and it'll talk about standing in the light of God's love. Well, I'm glad, friend, I'm in that. I'm glad Jesus loves me. I'm glad that he loves you. And friend, look, you're not standing in the right place. Blessed by the grace of God, get there today.
No longer standing in the shadows of night. Found rest for my weary soul. Since Jesus saved me, a new life he gave me. Now I'm standing in the light of his love. Do you remember when you were born? Just like the rest, I doubt it. But if you've been born from above, I doubt that you'll ever forget. No longer standing in the shadows of night, found rest for my weary soul. New life he gave me, now I'm standing in the light of his love. No longer standing, no longer standing, no longer standing in the shadows of night. Since Jesus saved me, a new life he gave me, now I'm standing in the light of his love. In his word says you must be born again, you must be born from above.
standing in the shadows of night.
No longer standing in the shadows of night. I found rest for my weary soul. Oh, since Jesus saved me, a new life he gave me. Now I'm standing in the light of his love. Look how I'm standing, look how I'm standing. I'm standing in the light of his love. Since Jesus saved me, a new life he gave me. Now I'm standing in the light of his love. Standing in the light, standing in the light.
God, I know what it is to stand in the darkness, friend. I know what it is to stand in the darkness, but hallelujah. I know what it is to step out of darkness and step in the light. April 23rd, 1974, friend, that changed for me. Jesus came into my heart and my life, changed me for an eternity. Now, I've not been perfect. Neither of you, by the way. Neither of you. But I'll tell you what, since I've been saved, I've had a perfect salvation. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Well, Deb, thanks for the song. In the book of Judges, right after the book of Joshua, right before the book of Ruth, chapter 7, the Word of God says in verse 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. What a great passage of Scripture. I don't remember now, early in the week, friend, this passage of Scripture was refreshed in my mind and my heart. I don't remember how the Holy Spirit just kind of provoked me and pointed me to it. But ever since that I was reminded of it, friend, it's just simply laid on my heart that I want to share a message with you from it by the grace of God. Oh, can I tell you, friend, listen, this verse, this passage of Scripture speaks volumes. Listen to what it says again. And they stood every man in his place. Boy, don't we need men standing? Don't we need men standing in their place today in the home, in the church, in government? Bless God, anywhere in our society that men should stand. Don't we need men? I'm talking about godly men, men of God, humble men, men that are full of conviction, men that have been converted, men that are filled with the Spirit of God, men with compassion, men, friend, just standing like men ought to stand. Oh, we need men standing in this day and in this hour. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, there's so much application here. There is so much to say in this message, and I've got such little time to say it in. Even if I had all the time maybe that I wanted, I'd still never get everything said that needs to be said, or even everything that I would like to say. But oh, look, friend, if I can encourage you, if I can encourage me, if I could challenge us, that we need men to stand in this day and this hour that we live in, friend, look, I would have accomplished what God would have me to do today. Today, as we look in this passage of Scripture, we come into the middle, actually, of a record of a man by the name of Gideon. He was one of the judges of the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel, friend, that God had delivered out of Egypt's bondage after 400 years. Those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that made up the body of that great people that God chose, his Old Testament elect, if you'll allow me to say it that way. And look, friend, look, I'm not hyper-Calvinist, so don't get worried about my preaching and teaching on election and free will. I'm pretty biblically sound when it comes to that. But they were the elect of God. God chose Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, gave him a covenant and promised that not only he, but also his seed would be blessed. And as they grew down in the nation, captivity of the nation of Israel, when God brought them out, he brought them out a great nation, a great army, if you will. And now as we step into the book of Judges, we find that they're in the land. Joshua had died, and all, listen now, the people, the nation of Israel had just really spiritually fallen apart. Listen, they fell after every idolatrous neighbor that they had, every idol that they saw. They fell in love with it. Every grove that one of the Canaanites or the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Ifites, the Termites, and whoever else. They just wanted to go after them. They forgot about the one true God. Every part of the Bible says, last, next to the last verse here in the book of Judges, said, did right in their own eyes, for there was no king in Israel. There was, but they weren't paying any attention to him. And here they were, friend, they'd gone down into servitude, and God once again, as they begin to cry out in His mercy and His grace and in His long suffering, sent them not only a judge, but this time a prophet before a judge. I don't have time to get in that, but if you read chapter 7, you'll find out that God had sent a prophet down to speak to them before that He sent them. Before that He sent them. In chapter 6, excuse me, before they sent them a judge to lead them out to get a great victory by the name of Gideon. I don't know about you, but as I read about Gideon and what God did through this man that He found hiding behind a threshing floor or a wine press, excuse me, threshing his wheat out when God called him a great man of valor. I imagine Gideon was looking around and said, who are you talking about? Who are you talking to me? But listen, oh, listen, my friend, God not only sees us for who we are and what we are, but God sees us for who we can be and what we can become by His grace and for His glory if we just simply believe Him, if we simply trust Him. Look, these men of chapter 7 of the book of Judges were a part of a band of men that decided that they would join up with Gideon. But wait just a minute. They were a special part. They were an elite part. I mean, these men, friend, listen, from the beginning decided that I've had enough of the Amalekites, had enough of the Midianites, had enough of those people that came from the east into our land. They were robbing us. They were destroying us. They were taking everything that we had worked on and gain all of our crops, all of our cattle. And they were saying, enough is enough. You know what we need in America today? You know what we need in the churches of God today? You know what we need in the homes, blessed, God dotted across this great land, this globe, this nation, this world? We need godly men. We need men that know God. We need men that trust God, believe God, who have convictions in their hearts about the things of God, and who are willing to stand regardless of whether anybody else stands or not. But they were a part. They were a part of 32,000 men that came to meet with Gideon and say, all right, we'll go about this great army that looks like a bunch of grasshoppers laying across the field of Jezreel, that battlefield of Armageddon, if you will. We'll go against them. We know the odds are against us. But maybe in their heart they thought, hey, little as much when God is in it. Maybe they remembered how that God would said, if you obey me, there will be one man that will cause a thousand of the enemies to flee. But whatever the case may be, when they gathered together, listen now, God had been working on Gideon, and He still was. When He got them together, He said, now listen, Gideon, I'm going to tell you something. What you're thinking is wrong. You said, what do you mean? What was Gideon thinking? Gideon was looking at the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all those from the east. You know what he was saying? He was looking at 32,000 that joined with him. Now, he was thankful. He was happy. Oh, he was rejoicing in his heart, but he was saying in his heart, God, these are too few. And you know what God was saying in his heart, and he was getting ready to tell Gideon this, they're too many. And that's exactly what God said. God said, now listen, Gideon, these are too many to go out to battle with. I can't get any glory this way. You're going to have to thin the ranks. Gideon was saying, God, we need more. And God was saying, Gideon, you've got too many for me to get the glory. So God told him how to do it. He said, all right, look, all you guys that are here, now listen up. If you're afraid, if you go back to the house, be no negative mark against you. Just head back. Just get going. And you know what? Out of the 32,000, 20,000 of those men went back. I remember in rank, maybe it's just 22, not 20, but 22,000, left them 10,000. They started with 32, got down to 10,000, and you know what? Gideon thought, man, I'll tell you what, I thought we didn't have enough then, but God said we had too many. I still think we could use a few more, and God said, look, Gideon, you still got too many. We got to thin the ranks down just a little bit. You got men, friend. You got men that are in the wrong place here. What we want you to do, I want you to bring them down to Haran. Take them to that spring on the north side of the valley of Jezreel. And there's a little spring there. I've had the privilege, glory to God, to drink water out of that. You know what he said? I'll separate them there. I'll separate them. He said, everybody that licks up the water like a dog, I want you to set them off to the side. We're going to keep him. But everybody bows down, gets on all fours, and sticks his lips in the water and sucks it up. You send them home. We can't trust you. What's the difference? Bless God, those men that went by, that lapped up the water like the dog, they have their eyes on the field. They have their eyes on the enemy. They just went by that little spring and that little water that was flowing there, and they reached down while they were looking out in the field and brought their hand up to the mouth so they didn't take their eyes off the enemy. Oh, friend, we need men and women that have that kind of conviction. We need men that are willing to stand, know the enemy, know what's going on, and be willing to fight them to stand, regardless of anybody else stands. Boy, listen, when everybody got him a drink that wanted to drink, you know what? God said, now you tell them, Gideon, you got down on all fours, and you sucked water up. You head back home. You head back home. But those others just lapped it up like a dog, pulled water up to their mouth, got it out of their hand, and sucked it in. You set them aside. Those are the men that I want. And get him begin to count. He said, well, there's 199. Let me count some more. There's 290, 297, 98, 90, there's 300. You mean 300? God said, that's the perfect number. That's just exactly what we need. And hey, do you not remember, friend, how that God threw a man to the name of Abraham, overcome with 318 men, 5 kings of those kings down in the Valley of Salt. You do remember that. That's another message for another time. But oh, look, friend, look, these 300 men, they were standing there. And they were wondering, listen, there wasn't a sword in the land. Do you know that? I mean to tell you, the Midianites kept all the armor and the metal from the Israelites. I mean to tell you, they had a monopoly on the market, if you will. But oh, you know what Gideon said? Gideon said, all right, now listen, here's what we're going to do. Now he decided this after God took away his fears. Hey, he said, look, Gideon, you get pasture. You take him down there to the camp of the Midianites, and I want to show you something. You know what God showed him? God showed him that he was in control. God showed Gideon that all he needed was his word. Gideon went down there and listened to a man talk about a dream that he had that evening. Heard another Midianite interpret it. And they said, oh, this is none other than Gideon. Oh, friend, listen, we need a band of Gideons, do we not? We need men that will band together on nothing. We don't need any more, nothing more than the word of Almighty God. Bless God, after Gideon heard that dream and the interpretation of it, man, him and Pasher went back to their camp and said, all right, guys, the battle's not ours, but the Lord. And I know it doesn't say it in the word of God right there, but that is a scripture in the Word of God. But I believe that's what Gideon was saying. All right, fellas, we got this one in the bag. I believe he told the story to the men. I believe he transmitted it, although the Word of God doesn't say it. But I believe it, listen, helped the others get firmer in their conviction. And you know what? They looked at Gideon and said, all right, Gideon, we're here with you. We're ready to stand. We're going to stand. We're going into battle. We're going to fight the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all of those. I'm that band from the east. What are we going to use? And Gideon went to the arsenal, began to tell his His supply managers. Now look, y'all begin to hand out these pitchers and these candles, these torches, whatever you want to call them. And oh, by the way, make sure everybody has a shofar in their hand. A shofar is a ram's horn, or is a horn of a ram, by the way, that they would blow. It's called a trumpet. You know what you need to do? You need to give everybody a pitcher and a candle and a horn and tell them to meet me right here, and we're ready to go on the battlefield. Well, you know what they had? Gideon told him, said, now listen, here's what you're going to use in the battle. I mean, it's pretty simple. And you know what God does? God takes the simple things of the world and does great things with him. He said, look, I'm going to give you a horn to blow. I've got you a jar that you got to shatter. And you've got a light. You've got a torch. It's got to shine. And you've got a voice, and we're going to shout. Well, you know what Gideon did? Now listen, he did something else. Instead of keeping those 300 together, he divided them up into three bands. He said, now look, fellas, you pay attention. I want somebody to lead that 100. Somebody to lead that 100. I'll lead this 100. And you keep the eyes on me now. You keep the eyes on me. Oh, listen, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on our great high priest, on our captain of our salvation. And he said, now look, when I do something, you do exactly what I do. When I break my pitcher and blow my horn, you do the same thing. Well, you know what those men did? Bless God, they kept their eyes on Gideon. He said, oh, wait just a minute, fellas, before you get out. Here, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to break your pitchers now. I've already told you that. I want you to blow your horn, but let me tell you what else I want you to do. I want you to shout the sword of the Lord in Gideon. Well, along about midnight, 11:30 midnight, right about a little after the change of the guard in the middle of the watch, you know what they did? Boy, bless God, old Gideon broke his pitcher. That light on the inside began to shine. About that time, they began to blow the ram's horn. And a ram's horn to a man at that time in the army, it would represent many hundreds of men being called into battle. And then all of a sudden, they would begin to shout, while in their left hand, they were holding that pitcher up with that lamp in it, that light in it, that candle, and it was just kind of flashing here and there. And oh, listen, they were saying, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Can I tell you a secret? Gideon didn't have a metal sword. He didn't need one. You say, why? He had the Word of God. Well, I'll tell you, listen, brothers, all we need is the Word of God to stand on this day. They had a great victory that day. They routed the enemy, but we need men that will stand. Will you stand, sir, in the Word of God? Will you stand with conviction in your heart? Will you stand with compassion? Will you stand, bless God, for your family, for your prosperity, for your posterity? Will you stand, friend, for a church that's being invaded by false doctrine and creeps that creep in according to the book of Jude? Will you stand, friend, against false teaching and false prophets and false apostles? Oh, friend, if you stand on the Word of God, you can stand against them. Listen, friend, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be ugly. There's a lot of things being advertised in the name of Jesus and for God that God's not giving. God's not God on sale. Hey, friend, I want you to know we need to stick with the Word of God. We need to stand. Bless God, we need to stand our ground. We need to stand against the wind of opposition. We need to stand against the criticism that come our way. We need to stand where the old men have stood, the great men have stood, the saved men have stood, the faithful men have stood. We need to stand, although they say that nowadays good is darkness light is darkness and good is evil. We're living in that day when they call good evil and evil good and light darkness and darkness light. Hey, let's stand full square in the Word of God. Let's stand on thus saith the Lord. Let's listen. Let's revive. I'm that old saying. Let's revive. I'm that great standard of truth. Bless God and let's stand on it. Stand for it. Stand with it. That's the Excuse me, that's all that we need. We just need simply how the Word of God. That's all Gideon had. That's all these 300 had. How was the Word of the Lord. The sword of the Lord. Hand of Gideon. We need that. We need that. Let's stand on the promises of the Word. Let's stand, bless God, in the simplicity of the Word. Let's stand on its purity, its power, its perfection. Let's stand on the Word of God, regardless of what comes our way, regardless of how the enemy comes against us, regardless of how the winds will blow, the storms may rise. Let's simply stand, friend, as Gideon's 300 stood. Let's stand strong. For the glory of God. Well, you know what I've done? I've got the wrong song up here today. So to go out, and you know what I've got to do? I've got to change it real quick. I thought I had the exit song up, but I didn't. But nonetheless, friend, let's stand. Let's stand for the glory of God. Let's stand for the grace of God. Let's stand again for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our nation, for our churches. Let's just simply stand until we can't stand anymore, and that'll be when we don't have to. Oh, thanks for tuning in. I trust that the message in some degree, friend, was a blessing to you. You were a blessing to me today. God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you are